Salam everyone, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have microphone privilege. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to Iz, Maitreya's previous lectures or satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously. Religious Groups section. Salam and welcome to everyone.
Salam everyone, welcome to the mission and our conversation room. We will have a new schedules for the conversation room in coming weeks. We decided to shift the conversation room 1 hour late every week, so we might be able to cover more people from different time zones. Today is going to be at 10 o'clock, as we just started it. And next week is going to be 11, and the week after 12. So 1 hour later each week. We will not have any conversation room at 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. because it is our service time at that time. And then we will jump from 5 to 7 and 8, 9 and 10. And when we reach the 10 o'clock at night, then we return back at 10 in the morning. This way we hope we cover more people who might be in other zones that it is hard for them to be here at 10 a.m. As everybody knows, the goal of the mission is to preach this word and revelation and the vision to everyone all through earth and at least let them hear it once. After we told them about this revelation and the vision, it is between them and God, and we leave them to God to realize that this revelation indeed unifies all humanity, fulfills the prophecies, and brings the unity that humanity have been waiting for the last 12,000 years, and explain everything that many people had questions about and did not know the answer. And now the mystery of God is finished. Therefore, it is our responsibility to reach in any way possible to humanity. Many people are working for the mission and this vision and revelation, and they have created many ways to reach to many people in the way that they can hear this message. And changing the time from 10 to 11 and 12 and on every week is another way for us to attract those that might come here at those times, and it's easier for them to come and join us. Therefore, we hope that everybody likes this new schedule and adjust yourselves if you like to be here with us. And if you cannot, then come the times that you can. So this is one of the news, and of course there are other news that you can always read about them in newsflash in our website, and you can go there and see the latest happening in the mission. And again, we will have another way to send you the news that is in the beta testing, and when it is done and is ready to go, we will announce that also in the week coming. This room in general is for everyone to go to our website, come to our rooms, listen to the lectures and explanations of the teachings, and see the vision clearly, how God predicted that there will be seventh revelation. And when the seventh revelation comes, the mystery of God will be finished, and all things will be explained, and humanity will see that God indeed exists. He says he will do this thing, and he does them, and therefore he indeed exists, and is in control, and has been guiding humanity and history and nations. They all have been blessed and guided by God to this point, and now he has revealed this last revelation to humanity, and those who read this teaching and see this vision clearly, they have no choice to see, yes indeed, this is the only revelation that explains more than any other teachings or revelation before it, and it has come in the correct time that God predicted it will come, and it shows and explains how God promised many things through history, and he fulfilled them. Now is time of choosing those who have been progressing for last 12,000 years and create a body that they can manifest this vision to humanity and take it to every corner on earth and let man know that each of them are a part of God's plan and no one has been left behind and each of them have a part in it. And therefore, when they put all these teachings and revelation together, they can see the vision clearly and know God indeed exists, and it gives a path or a way for them to progress as fast as possible to reach to Godhead, to return home. That is the goal of the creation, to help unit consciousnesses or man or humanity or creation to turn around, to be baptized, to go toward God. This all has been explained to our scriptures called the Holiest of the Holies, THOTH, though, the Last Testament. Everybody can go to our website, download this revelation freely, and read about it, and see the Word of God indeed has been fulfilled. We have been giving lectures and explaining this teaching for more than 23-24 years, and all of the teaching that explain his last revelation is on earth. It is finished, it is done, it is ready for humanity to go and read and see the explanation clearly. Last week we start a new period. We start explaining our teaching by starting from the very beginning of the Bible, the verses in Genesis chapter 1. And we explain to the point that man was alone, all one, and God decided still man is too powerful and too self-sufficient and will not listen or progress as he should. Therefore, God decided to split man to Adam and Eve. God put him to sleep or made him to go to a state that evolutionary process was done and man was made to man and woman. Or in another way, man was divided to higher nature and lower nature, and therefore the lower nature is woe unto man. As far as we have not overcome the lower nature, we will be tempted, we will be tested, and we will not see the way of God clearly, but we have our own ideas, and therefore we say we know better than God, and we fall. That is what eating of the tree of the knowledge and good means. It means we think we know better than God, and therefore we do things that are not according to the spirit and the natural way and the nature and the Dharma and the things that will make us to be in the grace, and the fall of man will come and we will be thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Of course, some people say woman also means womb man, the man who has womb. So in another sense, they are almost the same thing. The only difference is woman has womb and man does not. Therefore, man is created of two parts, and now each part is longing and seeking to become one again as man and woman as they were before. As they were one, God created them, man and woman, and He created more than one. He created them. By spreading man to man and woman, or two parts, man is no longer in the image of God. But God is male and female. God is perfect, and He's not split. Before splitting of the man to man and woman, they were also in the image of God. But when they were split, of course, they no longer were in the image of God. Now humanity have to progress and go back to recognize and realize that they are in the image of God and that they have both male and female energy in them and become one either in the flesh with their other part or become one with their spirit as male and female, which become in the image of God. That's why we have two kind of the people in the mission, the married people who find their other part and become one with each other and become in the image of God, or those who dedicate their lives to His work and God's revelation and become sannyasins or renunciates, and they find their other parts within and they become one in a spirit with God and they manifest God's quality, and they become in the image of God. And also they were innocent. That's why it says they were naked and they were not ashamed. It doesn't really mean they were naked. They even didn't have body then, as we do. They were mostly a spirit and soul, and they were in a state that they could manipulate the powers and energies in the universe, and still they could have power over different cities or chakras or powers. But they were naked in a sense that they were innocent, and therefore they were not ashamed. And they could be in the presence of God and talk to Him and be with Him and completely be one with Him and play and all that. Later on, God created the coat of a skin and skin them, and that is when they will have body. At this level of creation, they even didn't have body, so we cannot say that they were naked in a sense that we have body. They didn't have any body, but they were innocent. The lower nature came to man and started tempting him and telling him or her or it that, did God tell you that you should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Do you really think God is correct all the time? And when He says, don't do these things, He really mean it, and it is okay for us to do it? And maybe He's not right. The temptation comes, maybe we don't have to listen to God. Maybe we should not come to the services of the mission. Maybe we should not really follow eternal divine path. Maybe this revelation not completely is what Maitreya says it is. Maybe if I just do a little of it, that's enough. So they doubt it, and they start coming up with their own ideas, and therefore they try to put God out and follow their own way, and they did unnatural things. They went against Dharma. They went against the nature, the laws of God, and what they told them they should follow. The moment you do something which is not natural and is based on these laws, nobody can break God's law. You will break yourself against them by going against what is being set up to follow. And the moment somebody does that, it is what nowadays called sin or karma is created, and you fall from the grace. That's what exactly happened to Adam and Eve. They fell from the grace, and they no longer were innocent. innocent is the one who lives according to the nature and the laws that is being created in the universe, and he whoever does that has no guilt feeling and will be in the presence of God and will experience God. That is the goal of spiritual progress, to experience God. As far as you have not experienced God, as far as you are not innocent enough to be in His presence, you will have dogmas and religions. That's why in this mission we have given you many ways and techniques that will make you experience God. For example, there are services is done here, and probably it is very hard for some people to do it twice a day and come to the room and follow the services. And also it might become hard. After a while you say, I don't feel anything and experience anything, and I have to come here every day and do these services. But once in a while when you are by yourself and you are walking or driving or whatever, suddenly you start singing Hari Om Shri Hang or saying the reminder and seeing the meaning of it so deeply by yourself, and you realize it's really nice having these things. And you see the blessing and grace and depth of these things. Of course, the more you be in the services, these episodes will happen to you more often. You will feel a deeper level of their meaning and eventually will experience God. Therefore, as far as we haven't experienced God, these services, these techniques, all those things are very helpful in your path. And those moments of connections are very precious for everybody who has them or felt them, and they should not forget that they had an experience with God, and that should be enough for them, and not seek to have experience every day, every moment, every hour. Because every moment, every hour, every day has things to be done in that day. As Christ said, sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. And therefore, we have to be effective in life, but those moments are the moments that we have to remember and be thankful that we have experience of moment of depth and beauty. Brahmamurti, like to ask a question. Go ahead.
Salam. From your description of the fall of man, it seems like it's something that is not only, it didn't only happen then, but it's happening over and over again. The temptation is ever present, that it is something that we have to overcome. Could you please?
Your sound broke up, but I think I got the gist of your question, that the fall of man not only happens at that time, but it's happening every day, and we have to overcome even now. I hope that is the question. If it's not, raise your hand and correct me. Yes, indeed. Man still has its lower nature, and we still are struggling to follow the word of God or follow our own understanding, dogmas, religion, society that we grew up in, and all the propaganda and advertisement and radio and television and internet and everything that out there telling us that is the way to go, do not listen to God and put God out. It's in a struggle that is started before the creation, before God said, let create creation and help man to return back home. That process is still going on. It did not finish. It's still going on. The reason for creation, the reason for the evolutionary steps taken to take the power of man away from it and reach to this point, all has been done to help man to understand that God is in charge and what is the goal of the life. The goal of the life is to become divine. And not very many people are divine. Divine means those who follow the eternal divine path. When you follow eternal divine path and you overcome the lower nature and eventually experience God and you become absolutely dedicated to His will and work and you know your goal is to become one with God, then you will become an elect, a person who have overcome and therefore you have overcome the original fall of man, which was before the creation. So the fall of man really didn't start with the fall of Adam and Eve. Fall of man started from the very moment that a part of creation felt separated from the rest of it, and that created the unit consciousnesses and ego, and the separation started in that moment. Then God sent His Spirit through that darkness and went through the eternal divine path, and now knew how to help man to return back to God, to light. And that projection of God's Spirit to that darkness is coming of Christ into the world to reveal the truth of God again to man and guide them to return to God, to be baptized. That return of humans are the beginning of the march of man toward becoming pure consciousness and dissolution or dissolving of the darkness and eventually become light. And that process still is happening. As we saw many times, God created the history for the last 12,000 years and sent 7 revelations to man, and each of them have a message for humanity. And when we put all these 7 messages together, then we can seek the path that God has revealed to man to turn around and be baptized and experience God, create communities of light, and bring the peace and unity to humanity and accelerate the process of returning home to humanity. That's why the revelations of God come and the prophets of God come to man. The prophets of God have a message for humanity. They come here to bring those messages to man. Christ, or the Spirit of God, returns to this darkness, and that is the greatest sacrifice that God can do, to leave the light and come to the darkness and tell humanity this is the way to return back home, to turn around, to follow eternal divine path. The message of Christ have come to man again and again until this point that God said His mystery will be finished with this revelation. Therefore, we can see coming of the Spirit of God to man is so paramount in warning them, asking them, coercing them, and telling them, come and return. The Spirit of God come to them, or the prophets come to man to guide them how to turn around and go to God. They haven't turned around completely yet. The last 12,000 years, many people have been meditating. They have gone through all the scriptures and revelations and prophets to this point, and they have reached a point that they are ready to go to the next step. They become a paravipra, a chosen one, an elect. They are the one who understand this vision clearly, and they see that man indeed needs this revelation and the other revelation that God sent to man. And none of them is perfect until this revelation comes. That is why this revelation is the last revelation for the next 1,000 years to guide humanity to see that each of them are a part of this great truth. The struggle will go on. Human still is not living a natural way, the dharmic or the way of God. They have their own ideas, opinion, and it's getting worse at this end time. Indeed, everybody has their own ideas and opinion what God should be and how it should be. That is why God sends this revelation and says, what you say might have some truth, but it is not perfect until you see your revelation, your religion, your truth, your ideas or opinions according to this last revelation. This is a yardstick for humanity to see how their ideas or teachings stand and measures against these teachings. If they measure it with this teaching, more and more their ideas and opinions will change to God's idea and opinion, and eventually we will have many people who see the vision of God and they become godly and they become divine. The more of such people we create, the greater communities we can manifest, and as the number of the people who become godly increases and the communities of light are created, little by little we can bring peace to humanity, and when the critical point reached, the rest of humanity also will see this vision clearly. That's why it's so important for us to reach in any way we can to humanity and teach them this revelation and tell them about it at least once. Once we told them about it, we are done. We have done our job, our work is done. It's between them and God if they want to see the vision or not. If they decide, great. Next step for them is to come and join and help in creation, communities of light, and spread of this mission or message. And if they did not see it, we leave them to God. Our work is very simple and easy. So yes, you are correct, and indeed humanity is still struggling with that original sin, which was the fall of man, the darkness which Genesis talks about even before the creation. That darkness and fall in the beginning before creation has to be understood by humanity, and they realize that the fall of man wasn't at the time of the Adam and Eve. The fall of man came at the moment of that separation that felt with a part of the creation, and how God chose his own body with the creative forces to create the universe, and therefore God is everything, and everything is created by God and from God. With this realization, a lot of problems on humans and this universe will be resolved, because if God is everything, everything is God, and there is no separation between any part and any other part, and that brings a great relief to humanity, which separate themselves by religion, race, gender, nationality, or whatever else that they use to separate themselves and feel superior or inferior because of their ego. If you don't have ego, you neither feel superior nor feel inferior. But you just are, and you're connected with God, and therefore you are one with the rest of the universe. The rest of the universe just an struggling beings like you. So this understanding of the original sin before creation, or the separation from the rest of the universe, is so important for humanity to see and recognize, and the goal of the life is to become divine. That means we are not divine. Most of us have not reached the place that we experience God or reach pure consciousness, and therefore we are not divine. But the goal is to become divine. The goal is to be or not to be. When you are one with the Spirit and God, or become by following the eternal divine path. There's two ways to reach that state. Even those who are and are one with God, they follow eternal divine path. So this revelation is perfect. It just makes sense. It explains everything, and it reveals the truth of God to humanity and increases their understanding and answers all the questions they have. The only thing they have to do is to give up their ego. That's the only thing God doesn't like and wants humanity to give up. And apparently it's hard to give the ego up. That is why we see humanity is still struggling, and many people even who have seen this vision and have been in the mission or see the teaching and like it and love it, still they are struggling with their ego because they are still separated from God, and they do not want to live the natural life that God has given to them. As God has revealed, it will take 1,000 years even for elect to reach pure consciousness, and therefore we will be patient and will wait for those who have seen this vision clearly, and they can submit to the will of God. Give up your ego. Ego, go. Ego have a hard time to go because he has been in charge for many lifetimes, and now suddenly you say, no, I don't want to listen to you anymore. I want to listen to God. I want to listen to the revelations by the prophets and follow the eternal divine path. But I don't want to be following eternal divine path because I have my own project, I have my own way of doing things, and I don't want to give them up because that is where my ego feels good. My ego feels it's doing something. You have to dissolve that ego and bring to the umbrella of the God's mission and will, and that is also a hard thing for a lot of people to do. So ego is the real problem in the universe, and that was the reason they split from God in the beginning. Still, that is the reason a lot of people don't feel God. They know God exists, and they say, no, even they say God doesn't exist because ego says, I am in charge. I will not let somebody else come and tell me what to do. I am the person who will do things according to what I think is correct. And that's exactly what happened to the fall of man. Man said, oh, well, it's good to be innocent. It's good to be in Eden. It's good to be in heaven. It's good to be with God. It's great. I feel good about it. Everything is provided for me. I don't have to worry about it. But I want to do things according to what I think is correct. And that's exactly what happened to man. And lower nature became a woe unto it, and it woe him away from God to do what God said don't do. Best explanation of sin is karma. It's much easier to understanding. The moment a karma is created, you will feel a curtain. Something falls between you and a spirit, and it separates you from a spirit, and that's exactly happened to man. Now, God comes to the garden and seeks man. God is not trying to hide himself from human. He still seeks the man. He wants to talk to him. He wants to be with him. He wants to be a part of their life. He wants to talk to them and help them out. But human is the one who hides himself from God. It's not that God doesn't want to be one with you. It is us who don't want to be one with God. That is, of course, our ego, which has created karma, and now we no longer are innocent, no longer feel that we can be with God, and then we blame God. Where are you, God? I can feel you. I can be with you. You have hidden yourself from me. Indeed, we have hidden ourselves from God. God wants to be with us in the garden, in heaven, in pure consciousness. That's why he created the whole universe. The whole universe is created to accelerate the process for man to return to Godhead. But man does not want to return to Godhead because man wants to do what man wants to do. And therefore, they blame God by not wanting to be one with them and reject God as something is hidden, it's hard to be one, is too demanding or hard to follow his laws or nature, and therefore they cannot experience God, and then they blame God for it. And that's not the truth. The truth is we are the one that hide ourselves from God. But still, of course, God seeks man because man was, or at least Adam was, in a higher consciousness. God asked him what happened. The rational mind came to the lower nature of man and said, did God say that don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's the beginning. Did it really God mean it? Did it really mean we be 100% according to what he says? Ego says, oh, maybe no. Maybe it's not completely what he said, and I can do whatever I want and go against the nature and the laws of the universe. And now God comes to Adam, ask Adam, what happened? Instead of Adam says, sorry, you know, I made a mistake and ate of the tree and my ego get in the way and now I feel ashamed and hide myself from you. Yes, it was my fault. He says, no, it was Eve who did it. This is really the lower nature who made me fall. Or maybe the world is too powerful, or my lower nature is attached to what my desires are, and therefore I fall. That's the rational mind to say, it's not my fault. That's another problem humanity have to meditate on and recognize. That is your fault. Accept the responsibility for your action. Don't try to rationalize what is done in our life and is not according to the spirit and blame it to something else or someone else or whatever that is Maya is out there. You have to resist the Maya. You have to overcome the Maya. You have to not fall for the affection for the external world. You can say, well, the world is too powerful and it's affective and therefore I fall for it. Then you're rationalizing that I am weak. That's why we meditate, we do fasting, chanting, dancing, tantava, and all those things that it makes us strong in spirit, and we see the affection of the external world clearly and say, no, I'm not going to fall for it. Because the moment you fall for it, you are fallen. And that's exactly happened to Adam and Eve. They fall for the affection of the external world, and they rationalize it's okay to do what is not natural, and therefore they failed. And with this failing, of course, the innocence no longer there, the separation starts between man and God, and we no longer can feel God, and the more we fall, the deeper we will go to the external world. God said to the woman, why did you do that? To the lower nature. And she also didn't want to accept the responsibility. She said, the serpent did it. You know, he told me to eat, and I ate of the tree. Again, not accepting the responsibility for our action, rationalizing that it is really not my fault, maybe it is somebody else's fault, and the reason I'm falling is not because I'm falling, it's because of some other things out there that make me fall. And that is not accepting our responsibility. So accepting responsibility is for humanity to overcome and progress and take responsibility for their life and grow up and become more mature. That's exactly what man needs at this time, to become mature, not being like a little children anymore. It's end time. That's the time of sundering. Those who do not progress and become mature will not be incarnated for a long time. This is time of warning, of maturity, of progress, and understanding this truth in a greater degree. And therefore, we can come together as chosen people of God and accept the responsibility in our lives and our actions and stop rationalizing, but start seeing this, yes, indeed, my action is my action. I cannot blame television, radio, man, woman, environment. I am the person who sees what is the law of God and the ways of God and accept those and follow them to the letter. Then God said to serpents, why did you do that? Now the serpent no longer rationalized it. He accepted his responsibility. And God said, therefore you are cursed and all that. We know what is in the Bible. And the lower nature or the serpent fell and became the kundalini in the bottom of the spine of humans, which is a sleeping serpent. And when it is in lower nature, it's temptation and make one go astray. And then it's risen to a higher level, to the fourth and fifth and sixth chakra, it becomes wisdom. That's why serpent has two or dual nature. Serpent is known as devil or tempter, and it tempts humanity to fall, which is when the energy of the spirit is in the lower nature and man directs its attention to the external world and wants to satisfy that infinite longing for God by a material thing which is finite. And therefore, they're never ever going to be satisfied by directing that longing to the external world. And serpent, when it is risen to the higher level, to the fourth, fifth, and sixth chakra, it becomes wisdom. In the fourth chakra, it becomes love and beauty and seeing the beauty in life and other people. In the fifth level, it becomes knowledge and the ability to see the way of God. And the sixth is the state that you and God become one, but a small thread of ego or attachment to this external world will be left for you so you can stay in the body. Therefore, we can see that serpent is cursed when it is in lower nature. It will tempt man all the time, and man will try to resist this temptation. So this war starts from the very beginning, and it's still going on, and still man is in the process of being tempted and resisting the temptation. Brahmamurti is asking, I read in a satsang that you spoke about that we should have one face, whatever the situation, no two or three faces, etc. Could you describe that face that we should strive to have, even in psychology and explanation of the human nature? They explain that we have three selves. Each person think of themselves with an image that they have of themselves. Then there is an image other people have from us, and they think we are the way they think we are, and the self that we really are. So there are three selves you can look at, and the external world also will be colored by our perception and upbringing and our psychological and understanding of every situation we are in. That is why there is so much differences between humans, and in the same situation people see things differently. That become a point of contention and separation again between them, because I cannot see the way you see things and you can see things the way I see. And also, humans are different when they are by themselves, alone, and meditating, and seeing things the way they are, at where they are, and when they are with other people. Something changes in man when they are with other humans, and therefore they try to look good to other people, therefore they cannot be themselves exactly as they are. So for all these reasons, we don't have one face. We are not exactly who we are. To ourselves, to other people, the perceptions we have from external world, and also when we are in a situation that we do not feel comfortable, we rationalize the situation in such a way that we feel it was not our fault, because we're talking about it. That man likes to rationalize and therefore come to the conclusion, it's not really my fault, it was the fault of the serpent, it was somebody else tempted me or misguided me, or what I did in that moment looked good to me, but when I'm asked why you did that, it wasn't good what you did, we want to rationalize, no, it was good. The goal is to reach a point that our vision of ourselves and the vision of others of us and who really we are become one. Of course, we don't have any control of what the other people's vision is of us, because they use their own color glasses and they see the world they do. So we have very little power over that. So we can't change that unless we try to change other people to see things according to one standard. And that, again, brings the Word of God. And if we can create a world that people see things according the way God sees it, then our color glasses become closer and closer to one glass, and therefore we can see each other as the essence of God and see things clearly and better. But our image of ourselves and who really we are is the things that we should work on. And also we work on our color glasses that we have in our eyes, and we see the world according to our upbringing, our previous lives, or whatever that affects us to see things which are not correct color, but they are colored according to what we have on our perception and what we see outside there. By meditation and realizing the Word of God and accepting the things that has been revealed to His prophets, more and more the color of our eye glass will become the same as the color of the Word of God, and we see the external world clearer way. Therefore, we reach a point that in the communities of light, people will become truthful, and they can relate with each other in truth and unity and with no rationalization, but be perfectly honest in every situation, and we live our life honestly. With this achievement, more and more people will find each other honorable, good people, honest, and they can come together with no problem of ego in the way. Therefore, we have to create that one face, which is truth, which is godly, which is perfect, which is holy, which is not a rationalizing ego, but seeing ourselves and say, yes, I am making these mistakes in the community, I am a person that rationalizing things, I'm always having an excuse for my ungodliness and all that, and therefore we can overcome those excuses and little by little become a productive member in the community in such a way that everybody else also see our honesty, our purity, our truthfulness, and we will be in every situation exactly what we are when we are alone. So there is not two faces, one in a private time when we are ourselves, and we are honest, we can meditate and see ourselves and say, yes, this is not truth that I am, I have to correct this part, I have to progress in this way, I have to know myself better, and in front of other people also we should be honest. Especially in the communities of life, we should create an environment that people are not afraid to be honest. Therefore, they can be relaxed and life become much enjoyable by creating people who can be together and not be afraid of two-faced people who say something in front of you and in your face, and they in your back say something. Yes, that's two-faced. You know, you are one face in front of me and another face when you are behind me. That's two-faced. You should be the same. Whatever you say to me, you should be the same that you say to other people. Or backbiting, or saying things that you say behind people, but you say don't say in front of them. So all these things are being two-faced people. Of course, in the society that we have now, sometimes people feel if they say something is the truthful, they might get in trouble, and that is why they don't say exactly the way they see it. But we have to create an environment that humanity eventually should be able to say things clearly as they are. Again, Communities of Life is a good ground to practice this. If we create Communities of Life, that people are honest with each other and can correct one another and progress to each other, and even the person who corrects sometimes sees that their corrections are tinted with their own glasses. They think they are correcting other person, but really they are trying to dominate and say to other person, do what I say, but not what is the truth. Little by little, we can create humans that they can correct themselves by themselves first, and second, other people who have corrected themselves, which can also correct other people, and little by little we become one face human, and that is when the kingdom of God comes. Therefore we can be honest all the time. That's what it means to be one face. It means that create godly character, be truthful, be one in all situation. Don't change yourself when you are with another person and then change to something else with another person and change something else with another person. That is not being one with yourself. That's a split personality. Your ego and your soul, they are not one yet. Your ego is trying to be a politician, a person who changed color. That is a split personality. That is an ego which is not one with God. So really, if we become one with God and we get rid of ego, then what we manifest to the external world will be one person, and that is that godliness and holiness and truthfulness that we have achieved. So you can see that we have a long way to progress and reach a point that we can be that. The more of such people we create, the sooner we can create more people that become godly and holy. The kingdom will come because people are not egoistical, but they are a spiritual and a spirit. Therefore, really, it boils down to become a spiritual. Let the Spirit of God come through. God doesn't have two faces. God is God. He's been sending the scriptures saying the same thing. Human, turn around. Come back to holiness and godliness and listen to the Dharma or the nature of the things. Do not rationalize. Rationalizing itself is becoming two-faced. Because one is the truth, and one we think is the truth. the two can be absolutely different. If the thing we think is the truth is not according to the Word of God, and we are attached to what we think is the truth, then we are two-faced again. That's one of the great problems on human life and society and communities and families. Why couples have problems? Because each couple thinks the way they want things to be, and therefore the struggle goes between them to change the other person according to what they believe. But if I am one with God, and I am spiritual, and I see the things the way God sees it, and my partner is also godly and connected to God, and accept God's word, and we see things together as the way of God, we don't have any struggle. We are one. That is the only way, actually, you can become one. When you are one with God, your partner is one with God, the people of the community are in God and with God, and therefore we all agree more and more instead of disagreeing, separating, being two-faced, and create great destruction to man. So that's what it meant by that. All right, I guess we are again at the end of our time, and we will pick up our discussion about the mission. The reason we are discussing the mission again is to emphasize the truth that have come to humanity through this revelation of how all the things are explained. We will continue this next week at 11 o'clock. As we explained, we will have these sessions 1 hour later every week until 5 o'clock. And then we jump from 5 to 7, 8, 9, 10. When we reach 10 o'clock at night, we come back again at 10 in the morning. We do that so we can reach other people that might not be able to be here at 10 a.m. so they can also have a chance to come and they can have their questions answered and they can go and reach other people that they're not reaching at this time. Again, I leave everybody to God and be with Him. Go to the website, read our teaching, meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, and realize that God indeed is blessing you with this revelation, and become one with it, and come and become one with us and everybody in the mission. Have a godly week. Send everybody.